You're listening to the House to Home Show on WGCL, brought to you by Menards on Liberty Drive in Bloomington. And now your hosts, Nancy Baldwin and Brian Thompson.
Hello, and welcome to House to Home. I'm Nancy Baldwin with HFI Mechanical and Building Solutions, and my co-host is Brian Thompson with FC Tucker Bloomington Realtors, but he is not here today. He is on a well-deserved vacation. So I will be doing the show alone, and today my guest is Tracy Cooksey with Spray Foam Insulators. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, first, tell us about Spray Foam Insulators and how you guys started and how long you've been around.
We've been in business for 10 years. We started in 2006.
Gosh, 10 years already.
Yeah, I was a drywall contractor, and some of the contractors in town here decided they wanted to start a spray foam company, and they knew I kind of wanted to get out of drywall. And they gave me an opportunity, and I just jumped into it. And then 2 years ago, they decided they didn't want anything else to do with the company, and I bought it. So
good for you.
Just kind of rocked and rolled and went on. We've kind of changed things a little bit over the last few years. We now are offering blower door testing and duct blaster, thermal imaging cameras. We're trying to be a little more scientific about our building. Building sciences is just growing in leaps and bounds. We're a full wide array of insulation. We do fiberglass, which is the enemy, spray foam.
So you do the traditional bat insulation is what you're saying.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We do blown-in cellulose, blown-in fiberglass. We do everything that an insulation company would do, we can take care of. We travel from Illinois to Kentucky to Ohio to the north side of Indy. We're not afraid to do anything. If it has foam in it, we want to put it there. So
that's awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit about, I think most people are aware of what spray foam is. They've probably YouTubed it. You can see some pretty cool, I've seen it in person. I've been lucky enough to witness your, the actual application. And it is quite the sight to see.
It is. it goes in a 16th of an inch thick, typically, for a 3.5-inch stud cavity, and it expands 120 times. Where it really shines is it basically takes your house and turns it into a cooler. Foam was kind of started in the aerospace industry where they would only have a 6-inch wall, and they were going into outer space and extreme temperatures. So they decided, well, if it works there, it should be able to work in homes, which it does. A typical house that we do is usually, we used to say it was 2.5 times more than what fiberglass is, but we've started to really cut into the fiberglass market. So there, the fiberglass industry is raising their price, and we're staying where we are. So now it's only, you know, maybe half as much as what it is to do conventional insulation. Typically, if you use good windows and doors, I can save you anywhere from between 40 to 70% on heating and cooling costs, which we all know what the heating and cooling, you know.
Utilities continue to go up, up, up.
Up, up, up. And it, most of the heating and cooling contractors in town are on board with it, which is HFIR. And we work a lot with you guys and the whole building science thing of it. Typically, old timers are like, well, a house has to breathe. Well, no, houses don't breathe. People breathe. You know, we want to control the air we bring into the house. So, yeah, we want to try to get it airtight. When we do, they have to bring fresh air in. Well, if you're going to bring fresh air in, let's make it clean air that we're bringing
right.
in.
Absolutely.
With the blower door test, we can tell where leaks are, where problems are. We typically, if we spray foam your house, we do that for free. We don't typically do the duct blaster just for the simple fact that the contractors that we're working with do such a fantastic job. It's just a waste of our time and their time to be there. That we're very blessed in Bloomington that we have such great HVAC contractors.
Yeah, and so and most of them do. It's almost a standard now that you seal all of the duct joints. I mean, that's just what you do. It didn't used to be. You just slam it all together, and you lost a lot through those. But now with all the sealing, like you said, you really don't have to do a duct blaster test.
And, you know, most homes that we're doing, our area here in Bloomington, we're supposed to have the minimum is 4 air changeovers per hour. Most of the homes we're doing are 1.5 or less. So that's we're pretty tight. That's just on a conventional, you know, spray foamed walls and an R50 in the attic.
Mm-hmm.
We get less than that when we start spraying the actual bottom sides of the roof decks, which, you know, we do a lot of.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are putting the HVAC systems in these houses.
Yeah, a lot of people want them inside now versus an outside unit. And so they don't want to have anything outside their home. And so they want them hidden.
Yep.
And they're putting them in attics.
Yeah, and we hate that.
We aren't particularly fond of it. It's a little bit more difficult to get a heavy unit up in. It's got to, I mean, and builders aren't either because it's got to be reinforced. I mean, it's a lot heavier.
I tell people if you're going to put your furnace and air conditioner in the attic, if you're not going to spray foam the bottom side of the roof deck, you'd be better off to put it on the back porch in a shed.
Exactly.
So it's a much better environment for
Absolutely. So let's talk about the science. You know, you said you spray it on and it goes a 16th of an inch and then it expands. Well, how does that happen? I know you've got kind of a couple chemicals that are reacting.
There's a chemical reaction. It's basically all done with heat and pressure. There's a reactor in the back of our truck. It's not a nuclear reactor. We just call it a reactor. It's basically a great big pump with heaters. And we pump the chemical out of 255-gallon drums. And it goes through a series of heaters. It goes through a heated hose, the two chemicals do, and then they meet right at the tip of the gun. That's why a lot of times, if I had the magic wand that everybody thinks that spray foam guys have, I would be pretty rich because I could do a lot of things.
Yeah.
You basically have to be about 18 inches away from what you're spraying.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're spraying in an 8-foot wall, by the time you get to the top of the wall spraying, it's completely cured. You can cut it at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a fast way to insulate, and it's airtight.
Yeah.
Foam is a non-air permeable insulation. Fiberglass and cellulose and some of the other products out there are air permeable,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we're trying to stop.
Mm-hmm.
An R13 fiberglass bat, from the science end of it, if you drop the temperature to zero and factor in a 20-mile-an-hour wind, which is not unheard of in Bloomington, Indiana.
No.
That R13 bat forms like an R7. My mm-hmm. foam is going to perform like an R13.68 or something if you start doing the math on it. The numbers we like to use that we give to the heating and cooling contractors are 3.5 inches of foam is going to outperform an R26 fiberglass. 6 inches of foam is going to outperform an R46 fiberglass.
Wow.
And people are like, well, where are you getting these numbers from? Well, an engineer came up with them.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's been tested. It's been proven.
It's a proven fact. I mm-hmm. have clients in town that won't build a house without using spray foam.
Mm-hmm. There are so many features of it that I really like. And I know that in my next house, I will definitely have it. I mean, it doesn't break down. It doesn't decompose. I mean, people don't understand that if you have a house that's 20, 30, 50 years old, chances are very good that your bat insulation that was put inside those walls is at the bottom of the wall, pretty much. It falls down, it decomposes, it breaks up, and this won't.
Right, and the foam's been around. I mean, the first generation of foam had formaldehyde in it. It really mm-hmm. gave foam a bad name.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're starting to see the third and fourth generation of foams. And what they're coming up with them are that they have a fire retardant built in.
Mm-hmm.
It's more for a commercial use
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you'd have to put drywall over it or something like this to get to that. But the scientists are just coming up with new ideas of how to use foam.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a commercial property and it's a truss design, you have to have sprinklers in the attic.
Yep.
Well, water freezes. I don't care what you do.
Yeah.
It's going to freeze up there. If you typically spray the roof deck on a commercial property, code says, and we're not going to get into code, but code says that it has to have a fire retardant on
right.
it or be drywalled. Well, there's not a drywaller in the world that's going to put drywall on the bottom of a truss. They're going
right.
to hate your guts.
Right.
So we have a product now that we can paint over it, but the new foams actually have the fire retardant built in. So they're coming a long way with it. We do maybe two or three of those kind of projects a year.
Wow, that's awesome. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Tracy Cooksey with Spray Foam Insulators.